The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Live from the NASDAQ market site in the heart of New York City's Times Square, this is Fast Money, and here is what is on tap tonight. A Meta meltdown, shares hitting levels not seen since late January as revenue guidance comes in below expectations. Is this the beginning of the end for the mega cap rally? Plus, that's not the only earnings report catching our eye today, not even close. From Ford to Chipotle to IBM, we're digging into all of tonight's results and bringing you the trades. And later, believe the bounce, shares of Tesla putting in their best day since January of 2022, even after an earnings report that left many pretty unimpressed, to be honest about it. Is this a sign that the EV maker can get back on track, or will a different reality set in for the stock? I'm Courtney Reagan in this evening for Melissa Lee, coming to you live from Studio B at the NASDAQ. On the desk tonight, we have Tim Seymour, Karen Feinerman, Dan Nathan, and Guy Adami. And we start off with Meta. Shares plunging 11+% after the company gave weak revenue guidance for the year. It also said CapEx would be higher than expected. That news overshadowing a beat on the top and bottom lines. If the losses hold tomorrow, it would be Meta's worst drop since October of 2022. Julie Boorstin joins us now to dig into the details. Julie, what else stands out to you?
Well, Courtney, those better than expected top and bottom line results were very much outweighed by that lighter than expected second quarter revenue guidance, as well as higher than expected expense guidance. I just spoke to Meta's CFO, Susan Lee. She told me that the higher CapEx guidance reflects larger than planned investments in AI, including both in GPUs as well as in data centers. She also told me that the company's higher total expense range is partially due to legal expenses, and she noted that Meta's investments in AI do continue to pay off and were reflected in the revenue growth that we saw, stronger than expected revenue growth we saw in the first quarter. Now, as for the company's lighter than expected second quarter revenue guidance, Lee telling me, quote, what our outlook is reflecting is that we are really lapping a period of both stronger demand, in particular from China-based advertisers. Now, the call is just starting now. We are sure to hear a lot more about the impact of AI and also some questions about the cost of those AI investments. Courtney?
That's really interesting context, Julia. Thank you so much for bringing it to us. I know you need to jump to get on the call. I mean, Guy, what do you make of these results? I think that's an interesting point from Julie. Isn't a larger investment than planned in AI a good thing?
Quarter was, I think, very good. I mean, we'll run through it real quick. Revenue is up 27% year over year. Margins were up 13 basis points year over year. I mean, EPS was a significant beat. You know, CapEx came in pretty much in line. There's a lot to like here. It's the guidance. And if you think about it, there are 8 billion people on the planet. 3.2 billion use Facebook every single day. I mean, clearly the catbird seat. Here's the problem. The guide number one and the technicals number two, and I don't want to get too wonky here, but an open below 450 tomorrow, and there's going to be some technical damage. So it's not a question of where do I sell the stock? It's a question of how much pain do I have to endure before I either add to my long position or get in altogether. And that's going to be the rub tomorrow, given the levels of trading at right now.
Dan, what's your reaction to these results?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of expectations. Like coming into the, you know, the quarter, expectations were up earnings year over year, up 114% or something like that. So they kind of hit that. The stock was up 40% into that. Sales expectations were up, you know, 35, 40% or something. This is quarter year over year. So the comps were the problem here. The whisper number, I think, got a little bit ahead of things. And I just think it's kind of a theme that we're seeing. I think we can take, you know, Tesla and its performance today out of it. Expectations were really low. It wasn't even a good quarter. It wasn't a good guide. It was just a lot of qualitative comments about their business going forward that caused a short squeeze. Here's a situation where I think investors are kind of pricing, is this as good as it gets for a little bit, especially in the market environment that we're in? And then if you kind of just kind of put the rate thing into the picture, I think valuation is coming back into the conversation as it relates to mega cap tech.
That's a good point. I mean, Tim, it's had such a run when you look at shares of Meta. Does 11% feel overdone, or does it feel like this is the time to take some profit if this is as good as it gets?
Well, this is a massive move. We've seen this company have a couple nasty quarters in the past and not so distant past. But this kind of a move is probably warranted given the kind of move it's had. I mean, it's outperformed the S&P not by a little bit. I mean, it's up 30%, you know, up 35% year to date versus the S&P's 5. It was up 193% last year versus the S&P's 24%. So the outsized performance of this company is a function of a lot of things. It's including the year of efficiency. It sounds like it's not going to be the year of efficiency going forward. So we can put some of that dynamic in the background. But I agree, spend on AI should be good. I think the risk reward into the print, obviously, now it's easy to see this, wasn't that great. I think the risk reward for this company in the medium to long term is fantastic. I think the growth even for 24, if you look at consensus, Street is saying 17%. Guy pointed out how much they've grown year over year. I think it's a very conservative, actually, growth outlook for a company that's trading at roughly 10 times EBITDA for next year. So I think they're going to have a way to work themselves back. Dan brings up the technicals. I mean, there's some elements of this chart, or Guy mentioned the technicals. You've got to, you know, there's a big backfill that you could potentially say on this company. And again, this was one of the very, very, I would say, seemingly bulletproof names in mega cap tech because of this multiple. And I think this will be a pause on some level for people to look at a NASDAQ that struggled. It's had a good couple days, but really, you know, you look at those triple Qs, and we brought this up if it was last Friday afternoon when we were closing on the lows. We were pointing out the Qs had done nothing in terms of relative outperformance to the S&P going all the way back to July of last year. So, you know, you're making this argument that there's a struggle in some of the biggest market cap stocks in the world, even though this one is the one that probably people feel most comfortable with.
And, Karen, they may feel most comfortable, but it's also pulling down sentiment. Shares of Pinterest, Snap, those are down fairly sharply, 4 and 5% here after the bell. Does that feel right?
I'm not sure. As a Snap, I'm not really sure in Pinterest, but to just to Meta, I think this is my biggest position, so this is clearly a bummer. I was sort of waiting till we could get away from geopolitical things and toward earnings. You know, be careful what you wish for. But, you know, as Dan and other guys said, the quarter itself was fine. It's the outlook, obviously, it's disappointing. I do always want to hear the call, though. There's some nuance on the call that sometimes the pretty fairly short press release doesn't really get you. I do think you brought at the top, you know, is the spend, the additional spend on AI, they have shown, I think, that the spend on AI has been worth it. I don't know if they're giving conservative numbers for that spend. I also don't know if they're giving conservative numbers for that revenue. I'd be interested to hear the cadence of the quarter, how revenue was, and how, I don't know if they'll give April color or not. That will be interesting to me. With this move, it were, if it were to open here down to this much tomorrow, it would now be a below market multiple stock, which to me doesn't seem like the right price. Now, does that mean, you know, I'm often a proponent of the 3-day rule, you know, on a very big move, wait for 3 days. But this is a very big move that I think I think seems overdone, but I want to hear. Maybe there's something I'm missing.
Quick question. Okay, so you just said below market multiple. So if we're looking at the out year, we're going to be mid-2024. So we're going to start looking at 2025 estimates. I'm looking at consensus for 15% earnings growth next year and 13% sales growth, flat margins. So it's trading at 21 times. You know, next year is expected with a stock down like here. You can see. Is it that cheap? I guess
well,
my point is
you're enormous amount of cash as well, right?
And they're buying a lot of stock back, and they're kind of massaging those earnings a little bit. So the street consensus right now is calling for mid-teens earnings growth. And so trading at 21 times, it might get to a point if we do see some sort of revenue slowdown, right, that maybe these stocks don't look that cheap. That's been the narrative right now, that the growth is really kind of hyper, right? And so, I don't know, that's the conversation that people are gonna have. And, you know, if we're in a higher for longer, you know, rate environment, I just think that some of these multiples that we've gotten really used to are gonna come under fire. And wait, just wait until Microsoft reports. Because if Microsoft gave this sort of guidance tomorrow when they report, that stock could be down 10%.
Well, that stock, I mean, you're already looking at a multiple that's vastly different, right? So I agree with you there. I feel more comfortable here. I have a tiny Microsoft bet, not even really a bet at this point. Meta is much, much bigger to me. But we'll see. I think we'll get more data, but it does seem awfully overdone for something that wasn't super frothy going in.
No, it wasn't. And I, what I want to hear in the call is also some ability for the management to express that they can be very flexible on their cost structure. In other words, I think there's a lot of flexibility in what they can do in terms of their operating expenses, and that they actually can hold margins in line. And this is what the company really got credit. They came in off the ledge in terms of the metaverse. They actually got to a place where, you know, this year of efficiency has been kind of a joke. I mean, we reference this with almost every company that now has been able to execute in a way that only really Meta really was first out there. I want to hear from them that we could be flexible. So I think that's very interesting. By the way, is this the M
in
it
the
is.
Helm.
Yeah,
I think
is.
This was
it
the
is.
Only company that actually fit the description. Was this actually the M? You actually made your acronym. I'm just giving
Louis Vuitton is an L. With
Give it back to the game, right?
No, she's not really.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the L in my bicep trade. Okay. All right.
Boom. There you go.
Well, for more on Meta, let's bring in Fast Money friend Gene Munster of Deepwater Asset Management. Gene, what are your thoughts on Meta so far? I know the call is ongoing, and that's going to be where we're going to get some more important nuance.
Right on, Courtney. And I think, Tim, your comment about efficiency or leverage, operating leverage, is appropriate given, I think, the piece that jumped out to me from Zuckerberg's opening remarks, he's just getting going on them right now, but was a piece of bad news related to the amount of invest they're going to have to make on CapEx and energy to build AI. And he said, he used the words, I want to specifically call this out for investors to know that there is going to be a greater investment period before we realize the full potential of AI. This reminds me of things that Amazon has done in the past, just kind of reminding there are going to be periods of more investment. I read that as probably several quarters of this investment phase. They obviously just updated the CapEx guidance for the full year, but don't expect, I'm reading between the lines here, much of a lift or maybe a breakout in terms of AI. One more piece, Courtney, is beyond that bad news, to say he's bullish about AI and the potential on Meta is an understatement. He rattled off five different opportunities that they have within AI, and I just want to highlight one of them. He talked about Llama and building a big business at scale. I still believe they're going to build an AWS type of a business based on Llama in the next several years once they get to scale.
Investors do definitely seem to be picking up on this several quarters of an investment because stock now taking another leg lower here, Gene, down about 19%. I know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of play here with China, advertising from China. Have we heard anything about that yet on the call? What do you want to hear when it comes to that area of the business?
They haven't mentioned it so far. I mean, my thoughts on that is that I think some of the benefit that they are seeing a benefit from AI, by the way, but it's not a breakout benefit yet. Fair. But some of that benefit, of course, has been muted in the guidance for June. If not for the impact of Temu pulling back, they probably would have guided slightly up. Where people they guided down by about 1.5%, and so I think that you know, this is these hard comps from Temu are going to continue kind of into the September and December quarter. And so that's going to be another headwind. I think it's easy to get the wrapped around the vortex of these headwinds, but ultimately, Guy, at the beginning of the comments, you led off with the 3.2 billion users. That's the same thing that Zuckerberg led off with. And I think that is appropriate to lead off with that, up 7% year over year versus up 8% year over year in December. That's a really hard number to grow. Anything above 1% is a win. They continue to grow that base. They said it was particularly strong in the U.S. I think the stock is going to continue to move higher because these AI benefits, it's a function of time before they start to see it.
Well, Gene, clearly Mark Zuckerberg is a Fast Money fan, so I want to say hi to Mark and the gang. But, you know, it's interesting because the quarter on its own, I think, was wonderful. Down 18% now. And I didn't think this potentially could happen, but we're looking at levels. You know, the prior all-time high in the stock was made, I think, in August of 2021, around 385. That should be huge support. So I guess my question to you is, as Karen mentioned earlier, I mean, at some point, this is getting a little absurd in terms of the magnitude of the sell-off.
I thought if you'd have just given me the guidance and given me the commentary about that Zuckerberg talked about this investment phase and then the acceleration thereafter, I would have guessed the stock would have been down somewhere between 5 and 10%. And this is a standard deviation away from that. And I think it speaks to this underlying fear in tech investors that the party's going to end. The echoes of 2000, if they weren't investing then, they know all about those lessons learned, and people just don't want to be left in this if it ends up being musical chairs. It's not going to be that. AI is real. It's going to, I think investors should rest assured. But this is a classic overreaction, just given, I think, a lot of, and it underscores the uneasiness that investors have about this AI opportunity.
Great stuff, Gene. We're going to let you go so you can get back on that call, but we're going to check in with you a little bit later. We're going to go back to Julia Boorstin, who's sort of been listening in while you've been talking to you, Gene. What else can you share when it comes to the call, Julia? Yeah, Courtney, I've been listening to Mark Zuckerberg talk about how confident he is in the importance to continue to invest massively in AI. He talked about the rollout of this latest AI chatbot and how the results of all of their Llama investments, and they have Llama 3, that, quote, leads me to believe we should invest even more to build AI. He goes on to say we will continue focusing on operating the rest of our company efficiently, but realistically, even while shifting resources to focus on AI, we will grow our investment meaningfully before we make revenue from some of those products. So they've talked a lot about how they're already seeing AI accelerate the potential and the impact of some of their ad businesses. But what he's saying here is as they work on these large language models, as they roll out the chatbot, they're going to really double down on these AI investments. Interestingly, because they've drawn so much criticism about over-investing perhaps in the metaverse space, what he's saying is that right now, a lot of their metaverse investments are actually AI investments. And there's a huge overlap he sees between these two businesses. The stock is now down over 16% on these comments and on the increasing expenses for the company. But notably, Zuckerberg seems to be trying to reassure the street that these are big upfront investments, but they do pay off over the long run.
Yeah, very interesting stuff, Julia. Make sure you keep us posted. Alphabet, Microsoft shares also getting pulled down here, seemingly by this Meta report. Not nearly as much, of course, but Microsoft shares down about 2%. Alphabet down about 3%. Amazon as well, lower by 2%. I mean, it just kind of surprises me, Tim. I mean, maybe this is not a trade, but it's an investment. You have to invest in the future, and AI seems to be it. I'm just shocked that the stock is down 17% on just that.
Yes, but this is a company that told us they were spending and investing in the metaverse, and they were punished.
Sure.
But I agree with you, and it is interesting just to hear a CEO kind of scramble I don't know if he's scrambling to the stock. You know, I don't know if he's looking at the charts. I don't know if he cares.
Right. He
on some level, he probably does. But, you know, we know that over time, what he's saying what is obvious. It's going to take some time to invest in AI. They are also one of the few companies that's actually seeing some benefit here in the short run. So, but if you think about even just the technical elements of what markets will do on the back of this, I mean, Meta alone, if it closes down 20%, it's 15% now down. But I mean, you can do that math at 5% of the triple Qs. There's 75 bips on the Nasdaq tomorrow. Mm. And you see other companies, acting in kind. And I think people are trying to get ahead of some kind of a less than rosy from somebody else.
All right. So doing some math, this would be $200 billion in market cap. So just think of that. OK, like and so this is on a spend that's $2 billion higher than people expect on $2 billion revenue that are lower than expect. And what I think is important about this little exercise here is that this can happen to your most favorite stocks. It happened to Meta when they changed their name to Meta and said they were going to spend tens of billions of dollars in late 2021. The stock sold off 77%. Mm. Okay, so like I just think we've been living in this bizarro world for the last kind of 9 to 12 months or so since Gen AI has really infected the stock market, but a very narrow slice of the stock market that owns the stock market. And so if we get Microsoft and Google that have similar sort of messages, that it's not even the message is so bad. We believe that they should be investing like this because this is going to be the future.
Right.
Meta will be a $2 trillion market cap company at some point in the future. It might be a $3 or $4 trillion market cap company, but it could also get cut in half in the meantime on the way there. And we've seen that in Nvidia before it came a $2 trillion market cap company. It was down 70% from its 21 high. So I guess my point is like 3 months ago, no one could see this ever happening again. And I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but we've had some recent history that suggests that it could.
This is quite a move, and we're going to continue to follow it throughout the show and also talk about Ford, Chipotle, so much more. I think we're going to go to break, guys.
Your show,
sure.
Of course.
I mean, do you want to take a breather here? Because we can keep going.
I mean, 100%.
We got to pay the bills?
We got to pay the bills. Okay. You guys want to talk markets?
Sure.
Next
block.
All right, let's do that. Okay. All right, we'll do next block. All right. Well, coming up, we do have a lot more earnings actions to bring you. As I mentioned, IBM, Chipotle, Ford, they're all on the move after reporting. The details of those quarters are coming up. And speaking of earnings, Tesla charging higher on the back of their results. We talked about that a lot yesterday and what the EV maker is promising to do if they can deliver, of course, huge wild card. And how commentary from the earnings call impacted some other names today. Very interesting moves and some of those ripple effects. You don't want to go anywhere. Much more Fast Money up in two.
You're watching Fast Money here on CNBC. We'll be right back.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Fast Money. We've got another earnings alert for you. This time, IBM shares sinking as legacy tech name posted a revenue miss. Big Blue also announcing that it will acquire cloud software HashiCorp for $35 per share. The call just kicked off at the top of the hour, but CNBC's Christina Partsinevelis is here with numbers and a conversation that you had. So what stands out to you on this one?
Well, it was the third revenue miss in the last five quarters, so that was a concern. But on the call, the first thing they started with is talking about this deal, $6.4 billion, $35 a share, and how it's going to help the hybrid multi-cloud world. I know, you're shaking your head.
Well,
it's very confusing.
You sounded skeptical. I mean,
it's not. This is just another point. Here's a legacy company. There's been, 45 acquisitions under the CEO since 2020. So this is just another one to add to the mix. Question is, why are you adding this one now? Is Red Hat not doing as well? Or maybe they're saying the synergies are going to be great with Red Hat, going to be great with consulting. It'll be accretive within the first 12 months once the deal actually closes, and they expect free cash flow specifically for Hashi, which just turned cash flow positive this year. They expect that cash flow to go from mid-single digits to 30% to 40% within year two, which I think was pretty impressive. And I got these stats from the CFO, was able to chat with him, so they haven't even gone through that on the call. But overall, the other thing that stood out to me, consulting, right? Accenture, March 31st, lowered their revenue guidance, and that was a concern. CFO, CEO also both warned that companies are tightening their IT budgets, but yet Q1 was a major signing quarter for them. Signing quarter doesn't necessarily translate into revenue, right? Revenue dollars, that takes several quarters, et cetera. So for them, it was weaker, but they're still doing better than Accenture.
But they did reaffirm their revenue growth.
And that's great,
quarters,
too, given the strong U.S. dollar. We know last quarter with IBM, that was a huge headwind, and they reaffirmed it, like you said, despite the strength in the dollar.
Right. So the stock is down about 8.5%. You think that's on the news of this deal actually going through?
Well, usually when an acquirer takes a company,
even
so
though
part
it's
of it.
Been reported, so it wasn't already baked in.
Possibly the revenue missed, too, but slight. And then you had software that was a little bit light as well, but then they'll say that has to do with the sale of the weather company. So they sold the weather company. That switched into another business segment from software to other divested businesses. So that lowers the software revenue side. They have reasons, right? They'll have an argument for everything,
exactly.
Any negative point.
Guy, wasn't IBM sort of like the original AI with Watson and all this kind of stuff? How come they don't get credit for that anymore?
Well, because they got away from that for a long time, and the stock traded sideways for 4.5 years until they finally started to figure out they integrated Red Hat. Here's the problem, and I don't know if our crack staff in EC can do this, but we traded up to levels we last saw in 2012. So a lot of the armchair technicians are going to say this is a classic double top with 1.5% year-over-year revenue growth. Does it deserve the multiple that it's trading at? When a Facebook, for example, trades at a similar multiple and obviously is getting punished. So they're up against it in terms of what happened with Facebook and that reaction and in terms of just the lack of revenue growth. So this is somewhat justified, I think.
Wait, so nothing, the original AI, the two Hoyas on the desk, you guys don't have nothing to say on
that? That's Allen Iverson. I know who AI is.
Well, she's
I'm just
saying, but she just threw it out. I know.
Yeah,
he's probably watching.
He was like, the answer.
He was the answer.
The original AI.
I'll tell you what, I don't even think he could help IBM over the last 5 years. And if you think about some of the, like Red Hat was a great acquisition, they probably overpaid for it.
Maybe $34 billion.
Yeah, I mean, and at the time, they top-ticked that one. And it took them
4 years to integrate it and really get moving. But it was the right call for a company focused on software. The fact that the consulting business is light, software's not too bad. This feels a little bit like the Facebook story to me. I mean, this feels like a company who came in light, who pointed out. I don't know how much of this really is the acquisition. I think this is a company that's also done 60% over the last 6 months, is not growing anywhere near as fast. It certainly has pushed, I think, a lot of expectations higher in terms of what people thought this company was doing. And yet, again, 6 months ago, we had no expectations for growth in this company. So I think they're getting knocked back.
All right, Christina, thanks for being here with us. Appreciate it very much. Coming up, the earnings action doesn't stop here. We are keeping an eye on Meta. We will bring you the headlines from that conference call, plus shares of Chipotle and Ford, both on the move after hours. The details from those quarters and what Chipotle CEO had to say about results ahead. Also at Chipotle for lunch today. Coincidence? I don't know. You're watching Fast Money Live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. We're back right after this.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Stocks looking for direction today after a strong start to the week. The Dow down 42 points, snapping a four-day win streak. The S&P closing near the flat line and the NASDAQ up 0.1%. I imagine that's going to look different tomorrow. Some more after-hours action for you, though. United Rentals higher after an earnings beat. Viking Therapeutics posting an EPS beat and Lam Research beating on the top and bottom line. Whirlpool also reporting a beat, but cutting 1,000 jobs and shares of ServiceNow lower despite delivering a beat there. Karen, ran through a lot of things, but what are your thoughts on URI there?
URI, I mean, this company is just extraordinary. They've had sort of a big picture transformation as people rent equipment much more than own it. They've been right at the center of that. They've added on higher margin specialty. Obviously, the infrastructure bill, perfect for them. They just execute. They've just done a tremendous job. I'm looking forward to hearing the call tomorrow. They're always under promise, over deliver.
Yeah, shares are higher by 4% there. We've got a news alert on cloud and data security company Rubrik, the Microsoft-backed company, just pricing its IPO. Leslie Picker has the details. Hey, Les.
Hey, Corey. Yeah, higher than expected pricing here, above range at $32 per share. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. And the company is offering more shares than it initially sought out at 23.5 million shares, whereas in the S1, it planned to offer 23 million shares. So at that price, this company is offering $752 million worth of stock at a market cap of $5.6 billion. Again, this is according to a person familiar with the pricing decisions. And just a reminder, Rubrik is a cybersecurity company. They help secure customers' data in the event of a cyber attack. And with this software, the idea is that they can keep the business running. It's a 10-year-old company. GAAP revenue of about $500 million in their last fiscal year ending in January with investors that include Microsoft, Lightspeed, Greylock, among others. Court, I'll send it back to you.
Very interesting name. And of course, it's nice to see some IPOs coming and having such good demand. Les, thanks so much. Well, coming up, more earnings action to bring you. We've got the details on Ford and Chipotle. That's coming up next. Plus, we'll check back in with Gene Munster for what he's hearing on the Meta conference call, which I believe is still ongoing. And speaking of earnings, Tesla soaring on the back of last night's results, even though they really weren't great. What CEO Elon Musk is saying about the EV's new models and the updates on his planned robo-taxis. All of that when Fast Money returns. We'll be right back.
Missed a moment of Fast? Catch us anytime on the go. Follow the Fast Money podcast. We're back right after this.
Welcome back to Fast Money. We have an earnings alert on Ford, the automaker jumping after hours at earnings coming ahead of expectations, even as revenues missed. That conference call is now underway. Phil Lebeau joins us now with the very latest. Hi, Phil. What are you hearing?
And Courtney, just a few minutes ago, Jim Farley was asked about making money with electric vehicles, because we'll show you shortly, they did not do that in the first quarter. Not a surprise. But he said, look, we're making progress, and it is the goal. It has to stand on its own. So let's go first over the overall quarter for Ford. As you mentioned, they did beat the street, earning 49 cents a share. The street was expecting 42. Revenue just shy of expectations at 39.9 billion. The street was expecting just over 40 billion, so a very slight miss there. Now the three divisions, and this is how Ford reports its business. ICE vehicles, 905 million is not a huge beat profit that you would expect given the F-150, but remember the F-150 is just launching and they are dealing with that right now. So you're not going to see a big profit jump there. That will improve if the quarters go along as volumes increase. Then you look at the commercial vehicle business. This is where they're killing it right now. The commercial vehicle business brought in $3 billion last quarter. That, along with the pricing and the demand there, more than offset the losses in the EV business. $1.3 billion lost in the EV business for Ford, though they did mention, we discovered you bring down the price on the Mustang Mach-E, you will see volumes increase. Challenge now is to make money there. A couple of notes as you take a look at shares of Ford. In terms of their guidance, they now expect that the full year earnings of between $10 and $12 billion, that will come in at the high end there. Free cash flow, they increased their guidance by $500 million. And CapEx, they brought that down by $500 million. Courtney, we're going to jump back on the call here. Again, Jim Farley asked about EVs and how they make money. He said, look, we're going to get there eventually. We've got to bring down our costs. That's the big challenge, especially for the legacy automakers.
Got it. Thank you, Phil. Keep us updated what you hear. I know you got to get back on that call. Tim, what do you make of the Ford results?
I'm long Ford. I like the free cash flow. I like the dynamics around the core business. I like that they're continuing to reinvest in EV. I think they're going to be there. I also like that their discussion on the macro of the industry is that they expect U.S. SARs to be 16 to 16 and a half. It's amazing how we were saying that, you know, the U.S. auto macro demand was going to go down when, in fact, if you look, it's the opposite. I mean, there's cars that are on the road that need to be either traded in, refurbished, et cetera. I mean, the average life is something that's very much an underpinning for demand. So I like Ford. I like GM more. I'm long them both. Mm. Ford is, you know, certainly not shown the efficiencies that Ford, but Jim Farley's gone out of his way to say we're going to get better and we're getting better.
Mm. Meanwhile, Tesla surging more than 12% after its earnings report last night. It was the stock's best day since January of 2022, but the gains didn't even get back to where it closed last Monday. CEO Elon Musk promised on yesterday's call that production is starting on a lower price model and a robo-taxi called Cybercab. Expectations for a ride-hail vehicle sending Lyft and Uber lower today, but will Tesla and Musk actually be able to deliver, Dan? I know you were so skeptical about it yesterday.
Right? Well, I remain. I mean, the fact the stock bounced like this, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I listened to a call this morning, and it was about as clear as mud about what the direction is for this lower-cost car. And I think Tim kind of nailed it last night. Is the lower-cost car, their mid-range price cars, just getting down to a lower? They keep cutting prices. They keep cutting full self-driving. You know, I just think these guys have kind of nailed the GM and Ford trade over the last year or so. And Elon was very specific about this. He actually said on the call that this idea that their competition is really leaning into the plug-in hybrid EV, he said, matter-of-factly, he thinks that's wrong. So they're going to continue to double down on this. But again, I think it's almost the gateway drug to EV, if you will. If range anxiety is a thing, right, and building out these sorts of, these supercharger networks and everything like that is really expensive. It's going to be a while. So get people hooked on this idea of a hybrid. And at some point, when the global network is there and these cars can go the distance, right, then you're going to get them. So to me, that's probably a good play to play.
Well, you got that silly smile on your face over there.
Well, I was going to ask Tim if he suffers from range anxiety.
Haven't thought about it, Guy. How about you?
No, I'm fine. I'm just was thinking about it. I was looking at you. No, you know, real quick, I'll say this. You know, you could see the potential for Ford. Ford made its all-time high 25 years ago. Toyota made its all-time high 25 days ago, effectively. So if you can figure it out, you can have a path like a Toyota's had a path. It's just getting there that's the hard part. But I do... GM's probably a little bit ahead. Ford's pretty close.
I'll tell you what, I go pretty well into the hole on that ball cut between third and shortstop, though. I mean, I've got decent range.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm, you know, I mean, thought about it.
Yeah, but I
was mostly leather, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, no stick.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that, but that would not be a good thing to say.
Oh, gentlemen. Well, coming up, the earnings action keeps coming in hot. Chipotle higher after its latest report. And we're bringing you fresh commentary from Meta's conference call. That's up next. Plus, 2024 CNBC Stock Draft. It kicks off tomorrow with a star-studded lineup featuring our very own Karen Feinerman. We will get a first look at what's at stake in this year's edition. Maybe a peek into her strategy. That's right after this. It's a busy afternoon. We've got a news alert on a potential mining deal. Bloomberg reporting BHP is weighing a takeover of Anglo American. ADRs of Anglo up 4% after hours. Karen, you flagged this headline. You feel like this is a big deal.
Yeah, this could be a big deal. And you never know. Just, I mean, these guys know the space much better than I, but it just could start off a frenzy. And who else does that leave? And the whole space could get hot on this, I think.
All right, something we got to keep watching. Meantime, let's get a check-in on Meta's conference call. Gene Munster is still with us. Shares are still down. They were down sharply at the beginning of that call, pacing for the worst day on record. Conference call still underway. I guess we've gained back a little bit, down about 16%. Gene, what do you make of the call? What have you heard since we last spoke with you?
Well, Zuckerberg's clear message is that he's going for it when it comes to AI. He said that he intends to build some very large businesses based on AI. They have a product now called Meta AI, and they want to build other AI products around it, potentially building out Llama like we talked about early in AWS. Zuckerberg did not say that, give that analogy, but very clear. He also gave some insight in terms of one of the ways that they can implement AI across all of their, for all their users. And he said that he wants them to have the most used personalized AI bot in the world. And so this is the idea of going beyond generative AI to having these agents actually do things for you. And so that was a new piece to it. And all in, he's all in on AI. Investors obviously are spooked by this investment cycle that's going to come over the next, call it 2 to 4 quarters before we get revenue acceleration 2 to 3 years down the road.
Has he talked about anything yet with the China advertisers? I know that was something that you were looking for and we talked about earlier on the show, but hadn't gotten there yet.
CFO Susan Lee did mention that. She said that the Asia Pac region did really well, up 41%. The overall business was up 27%. So Asia Pac did well. But she again reiterated, this is through the Q&A, that China had been an impact. She would not give details to the extent of that impact, but cautioned this will continue to have an impact. Essentially, what happened is when China came off the COVID lockups, there was a rush of advertising. This is what they're attributing it to. I think there's a geopolitical piece that's playing into this as well, not just hard comps.
Got it. Gene Munster, thanks so much for coming back on and keeping us updated on that call. Gene Munster from Deepwater Asset Management. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Well, meanwhile, Chipotle popping after beating expectations on the top and bottom lines. The fast casual dining chain seeing a 14% rise in revenue driven by new restaurant openings and a bump in comparable sales. CNBC's Kate Rogers spoke to CEO Brian Niccol before Chipotle's earnings call even began. Let's go to her for more details on the company's quarter. Pretty impressive, Kate.
Yeah, Court, this was another big one for Chipotle. So you mentioned a beat on the top and the bottom lines for Chipotle's first quarter. Same store sales coming in at 7%. That's well above the 5.2% estimates from analysts. Chipotle saying its braised beef barbacoa and chicken al pastor offerings help to drive strong sales and transactions. Speaking of transactions, they were up 5.4%. Average checks grew 1.6%. CEO Brian Niccol said again this quarter, the company isn't losing traction with any income cohorts here. In fact, it's actually growing transactions. Take a listen.
We're seeing transaction gains in every income cohort, whether it's sub 50,000 to north of 150,000. So we continue to see a lot of strength in our business with every income cohort and every customer that's coming into Chipotle.
In terms of guidance, a raise in full-year same-store sales guidance in a range of mid to high single digits. That's up from the mid-single-digit previous guidance. And CEO Niccol really pointing to throughput efficiencies the company's put in place in recent months, building upon one another for the success of this quarter. That's something he kept hammering home on the conference call, Court.
Great stuff, Kate. Thanks so much. Good interview
Thank
there.
You.
Guy, what do you make of Chipotle's success? It just keeps running.
It's, you know, we talk about a burrito blowout all the time. I mean, this is yet again a burrito blowout. I mean, EPS beat is staggering, but the margin beat was ridiculous. 130 basis points of margin beats is pretty remarkable if you think about it, because they've been doing it pretty consistently, which gives them the multiple that they probably deserve, although it seems expensive. And, you know, you talk about the full year guide that Kate just mentioned, mid-single to high single digits. I think FACT said it's at 6.1%. That will come in around 8.5% or 9%, and they'll beat again. So you just got to stay with this name, regardless of valuation at this point.
Karen?
Yeah, I mean, that same-store sales beat again. I mean, again and again and again. It's just kind of extraordinary. I've always thought it was too expensive. That's been wrong for years. So the split, I guess, is that another reason for, I guess, a further burrito blowout?
Not.
But good for them. I mean, just to be able to keep doing that. It's so good that it makes me think there is not a randomness to it, that they know exactly how they're going to be continuing to build their business. It's not just locations. It's efficiency. And, I mean, kudos to them. Extraordinary job.
Open up 47 restaurants, but, again, the same store sales number, really impressive over and over again.
Yeah, they're also pointing out that the cost of sales inflation will be in mid-single digits. So that's pointing out a couple things, certainly in terms of the backdrop of where we are and also how extraordinary their margin dynamics are. And again, it looks to me that they've added a couple of hundred basis points. Guy says 135. I mean, that's part of the story here. They're seeing economies of scale.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Delicious burrito bowls, too. Coming up, the countdown to 2024 CNBC Stock Draft. It's officially on. Our very own Karen Feinerman kicks off the star-studded event tomorrow. She's got the number one overall pick. We'll take a closer look at how she's playing for victory next. More Fast Money in 2.
Wow.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Just about 20 hours until the CNBC stock draft kicks off tomorrow right here on CNBC at 2 p.m. Eastern. Nine new competitors facing off against defending champ WWE superstar Charlotte Flair. It's a must-see group of challengers, from competitive eating champ Joey Chestnut to Kenny the Jet Smith of Inside the NBA to our Fast Money friend Oz Poorman and our very own Karen Feinerman. Partnering with WNBA MVP Brianna Stewart, their team, Money Machines, has the number one pick. Each team picks two names over two rounds from a list of 57 stocks plus oil, gold, and Bitcoin. So the team with the best total return wins the competition. It starts this Friday and then goes until the Friday before the Super Bowl next year. So it's tied to the actual NFL. So Karen.
Yeah.
Your team technically already on the clock. What's your strategy heading into the draft? You're the number one pick.
What's it gonna be? Come on.
The number one pick. So the game has changed a little bit tonight, right?
Okay.
Meta, which I didn't think would have this outcome.
Okay.
And, you know, so I was thinking, all right, it is my biggest position, but I don't know where to go with that. Because you got to really think about the strategy. You got to go big or go home, right? So middling doesn't really do it for you. So got to think about that. The game has changed. And then I got to think about... well, I got to talk to Stewie. I mean,
yeah,
I got to see what she's got to say. Kind of interesting. She was the first draft picked, and here we are getting the first draft pick as well. So I want to get her input as well.
And how many rounds does it go?
Two rounds,
right?
And so I need to hear. I want to hear her strategy, how she's thinking about it.
Okay,
we'll come out with that.
Tim, if it were you, what's your advice?
Well, and it has been me. And my advice historically was you want something that has a high delta outcome opportunity. So it could mean really the most bombed out chart on there. Because if you think that there's a chance somewhere in the next year, remember that, you know, things go from just terrible to bad. You've made a lot of money. So, you know, there's a dynamic here where, though, the last couple of years winners have come from names that have been picking right in the mainstream, whether it was Nvidia last year, Charlotte Flair, she nailed it. And I think the mega cap tech stocks, it makes Meta a lot more interesting tomorrow.
Dan, what was your pick?
So I agree with Tim. You want to pick the biggest loser, which is very different than what goes on in the NFL draft tomorrow night. By the way, Oz Perlman told me he's going to pick in the actual NFL draft. He's going to predict some picks, which is going to be really interesting.
He's going to nail it, too.
Yeah, so we'll see.
He knows everything, right?
So
he
you want to pick the biggest loser, and you can interpret this however you want, I think you go with Tesla here. I think Tesla is going to go down to 100, but then I think by this time next year, it could be 200. And that's how you double things up a little bit.
I agree.
That.
It's on the list.
You're laughing. You wouldn't pick
Tesla.
Well,
except that you get it at the closing price tomorrow.
Yeah, it's fine. It can go to 100, but then I think...
But it's not going to 100
tomorrow. Okay, fine.
Anyhow, I understand all this. And good luck to Karen. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
DraftKings. I think Stan Druckenmiller is adding to his position. And Goldman Sachs initiated. If they get things right, given the valuation of some of these names, This stock should be a double by next year.
This is going to be really fun to watch.
Awesome.
We wish you all the best, Karen. We're
rooting
for you, of course. Well, coming up next, we've got your final trades. Time for final trade. Let's go around the horn. Tim.
Courtney, thank you for joining us. GM, if you like Ford here, I think you like GM more.
Karen.
Meta, I think you got to go with a three-day rule here. Wait.
Dan.
Yeah, Microsoft. I think the reaction to Meta should make you cautious about Microsoft in the print.
And Guy.
Happy wedding anniversary to a CNBC legend, Bill Griffith, and his wife.
Nice.
Newmont Mining on the back of what Karen was talking about.
All right. Well, thank you for watching Fast Money. It was great to have you. Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.
All opinions expressed by the Fast Money participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information the Fast Money participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Fast Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Fast Money Disclaimer.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.